Hey, everybody. Welcome to the New Market Alliance Church podcast, where you're invited to not just attend church or watch church or, in this case, listen to church, but actually go and be the church. For everything you need to know about our community, be sure to go to newmarketalliance.ca and maybe even drop us a line to let us know you're listening. We read everything you send and we'll be sure to get back to you. Our worship service happens every Sunday at 10 a.m. in person or streaming online. We want you to know you absolutely matter to God, and you absolutely matter to us. Everyone is welcome and wanted. Now, let's join today's teaching.
I listen to a lot of podcasts. Sometimes it can sort of turn into background noise, unfortunately. But this one really, you know, I've had spiritual gifts on the brain all summer. And so when someone comes at it from a different angle, my ears sort of picked up. And this clip is from the Carrie Newhoff podcast. He's the founder of Connexus Church in Barrie, author, church leadership consultant. He's talking to a gifted woman in her own right, Priscilla Shires. And I want parents and children's ministry volunteers and youth leadership volunteers in particular to pay attention to this section of the interview, and then I'll come back with some observations. Watch this.
You grew up, I want to start here with your childhood. So Priscilla, as a girl, I think I heard your brother say that you got in trouble for talking too much.
Totally.
What were you talking about? What did you now, looking back, see? Okay, that might have been God's hand on me.
Well, yeah, I was talking about nothing. That was the problem, was that I was talking about nothing, out of turn, with the wrong tone, you know, all the things. In hindsight, I realized that, you know, many words sometimes are proof of a lack of wisdom. So I'm glad for growth in that way, at least a little bit. But I will tell you, I'd get in trouble for talking, you know, because if the school calls your parents and says, you know, Priscilla's got two demerits because today she wouldn't stop talking when it was time to stop talking. Of course, my parents would deal with me in that regard. But I remember in particular, my dad always at some point bringing a conversation back around to the fact that it could be that I had a gift of communications. He would say that to me. I remember being 10 and 11 and 14 and 15 years old and being disciplined, but then him also saying, what if God has given you this ability to communicate? And if you'll just like surrender that to him, the thing that's getting you in trouble now could actually be the thing that God is going to use for whatever purposes he has for your life, whether it's in ministry or when I went to college, I thought it was going to be broadcast journalism. I wanted to be on the news. So he's like, well, what if this is what the Lord has given you? You just have to surrender it to him. I've taken that into my own parenting because I realized the patience and discernment that it required for my father not to just be upset that I was being disobedient, but to measure that with a reality that it could actually be pointing to something God-given in this kid. So I've tried to do that with my own boys when they're acting in immaturity or when they're kind of, you know, stubborn or they're risk-taking in a way that is not comfortable for me. After I talk to them about the maturity they need to develop to support whatever that thing is, then I say to them, what if you're a risk taker because God's called you to entrepreneurialism and you're going to have to be the one that's willing to take that risk? Well, you know, what if that stubborn streak is because you're a strong leader? So that leadership potential is actually going to be what you need, but you got to surrender all that to the Lord because either the enemy is going to use it or God's going to use it for his purposes.
I was probably around the same age, 11 or 12. And around that time, there were a lot of people in my church who sort of put their hand on my shoulder and said, you're a leader. Like, you're going to do something one day. And when I think about, do I look for that in 11 or 12 year olds? I think I look for that in 17 or 18 year olds, but I'm not sure I see it in 11 or 12 year olds. You know, there might be something there to affirm the gifts earlier and younger if you see them. Any thoughts on that?
I agree. And to make the thing is making space for them to serve, making space for them to exercise those gifts so that they come to maturity. And I think it says a lot about our trust in God that everything doesn't need to be perfect, meaning the 11-year-old's going to get there and stumble over their words. They're going to say 800 times. They're going to not know the right way to pronounce the word.
When the whale ate Moses.
Totally. Exactly. It's going to be a disaster, but it's like, it's okay. let them develop. And it's best for them to develop with people that are on their side, that are going to support and encourage them, and are going to continue to call out in them what they probably can't even see it themselves at this point. Give them opportunity to do that. Let them stumble and fail right in the midst of the body of Christ. And then they can come to maturity around people who love them.
Yeah. Yeah. Couple of things that come to mind to me watching that. Number one, and I mean this respectfully to parents, sometimes I wonder if we overinvest in the wrong things. You know, the average cost of playing hockey in Canada for a kid is like $4,500 a year. And depending on the skill and age, you know, for 13 to 16 year olds, it can get to average of $7,400 a year. And they have I'm told a 1 in 4,000 chance of playing a game in the NHL. That's is it less? 0.00025% chance. I say this as a hockey fan. If you love it, it's a dream worth pursuing, but to hold it loosely, you know? Because if you are a Christian this morning, there is a 100% chance that God will give you a spiritual gift that in a large or a small way will profoundly impact the lives of people through his chosen vessel of change in the world, the church. You can bank on it. And so it's a question of maybe emphasis and investment. I don't want a bunch of parents to pull their kids from sports. I'm saying that maybe your interest, your development, the maturation of one's spiritual gift that has a 100% return on investment is as worthy an investment as sports. The second thing I would say is this: we have learned, haven't we, that an unguarded strength can become your greatest weakness. Or in other words, every disordered or shadow side of a strength or calling can look more like a weakness. The gifted leader who lets it slip into micromanaging, the servant helper who takes on too much and turns resentful, the generous person who actually rescues people a little too much when it would maybe be wise and loving to hear the word no every now and then. And just like the story of Priscilla, who had wise enough parents to recognize that this quality of hers that could sometimes present as annoying and rebellious and strong-willed, when it is ordered and healthy and reined in, it turns into one of her greatest contributions. So, you know, for that parent with a strong-willed, rebellious, stubborn child, and they do need to temper that with obedience and respect, remember, it might be that so-called rebellious or stubborn one who ends up disrupting the status quo, making a huge impact. How many have seen this principle in their life or in someone else's life? Of what looks like a weakness ends up being a strength. Good, two of you, great. Because it's actually it happens more often than you might think. If you're visiting with us today, I'm wrapping up a summer series on spiritual gift. When you become a Christian, God comes bearing gifts to build up the church and to make it supernaturally effective. No one person has all the gifts, despite what you may presume of your pastor. But it's okay, because Paul says we're a body with different functions: toes, fingers, noses, hearts, and the head always being Christ. And we have everything we need right here in terms of gifting. My challenge this summer has been about, well, all kinds of metaphors actually, but not burying your gift, not letting it go unused, underdeveloped, you know, to get off the couch, to get off the sidelines and get in the game. And before I wrap up with our last spiritual gift, let me just address a miscellaneous item that you may be thinking of. Are these all the spiritual gifts, or are there ones not listed in the Bible? This may sound like sacrilege to some, but I don't know. We've talked about the ones that are listed in Scripture, and it's certainly not for us to add anything to Scripture. But even the way the gifts are presented in about four different Scripture passages seems more like the writers, who are under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, might be more about giving various examples than creating an exhaustive list, you know? It's been sort of cobbled together from different authors and different letters in the New Testament. For instance, some folks will say hospitality is a spiritual gift. We know it is both something every Christian is called to do on some level, whether they're good at it or not. Hebrews 13:2, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. 1 Peter, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. But clearly there are people we know who seem particularly gifted in this area. Raquel Radcliffe, you know, Rosemary Mayhew, Leslie Knight. It's a spiritual gift in the same way, or is it a spiritual gift in the same way that prophecy is a spiritual gift? I'll just say this. Hospitality sure is a gift to the church, to our church. Some people have made the case that the craftsman is a spiritual gift. You know, the Steve Robinsons and Mike Coles and Franks and Raffies of the church, all kinds of references in the Old Testament to the skilled craftsman working as unto God. Is it a spiritual gift? I'll just say it sure is a gift to the church, and thank you. The musician, the actor, the graphic designer, the worship leader. Some say this is a spiritual gift of a creative arts. Derek, Brent, John Asbury, Jessica, Vicky, Glenn, of course. And in the Old Testament, you'll read of musicians whose only job was to worship unto the Lord. They were set apart for this one and only role. They were not, you know, a nice supplement in Old Testament worship or Old Testament battle for that matter. They were vital. Psalm 33, verse 2-3 says, praise the Lord with the harp, make music to him with 10 strings, sing to him a new song, play skillfully with a shout of joy. Is it a spiritual gift? I'm not sure the Bible says it explicitly, but just anecdotally, do you notice when there's a musician or a leader or a vocalist, an actor even, who is just, and I'm gonna use a classic Christian word here, who is just anointed? It has less to do with skill, but rather it's like you can feel it in the atmosphere. You find yourself welling up with tears because it seems the presence of God is either resting on that person, or that person is helping usher in the presence of God in a room. Sure makes an anecdotal case, at least, that is a spiritual gift. But we may have to leave, you know, the strict delineations and definitions for heaven. Okay, clear as mud. Okay. Now, sometimes as we learn about spiritual gifts, you'll notice there's like an overlap. Do I have the gift of miracles or the gift of healing? Seems like it could be either, technically. Is this a prophetic word or an encouragement? Is this, you know, wisdom or discernment? And I'm not sure it's even necessary all the time to sort of parse it out, other than just be thankful to God that he's given you a moment of supernatural equipping. One of those gifts, the very last gift that we'll talk about in this series, might be at times confused with prophecy or discernment, but it's the spiritual gift of getting a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. This is different than being known as a generally wise person or a generally knowledgeable person, you know, one adept at retaining facts and dates and even memorizing scripture. It's a gift that seems to imply that there are these situational communications given by the Holy Spirit for that moment. Some delineate it with the understanding that prophecy is more of a gift exercised for the community, and a word of knowledge is best exercised one-on-one. It's often God giving a very direct word about an issue that needs to be dealt with, or a word of encouragement, or a situational correction. These people make really good spiritual directors, really good Christian counselors. I have heard of Christian pastors and counselors who, in the middle of a session, will get a prompt from God. She's not telling the truth. He was abused by his father. They don't want to tell you about their previous marriage. Pretty powerful stuff. And we place this, in fact, in the power gifts category, spiritual gifts that display the presence and power of God. And unfortunately, well, actually, probably fortunately, this is not like a spiritual switch you can just, you know, turn on. Like, come tonight to church where Jonathan will read your mind and he can guess what number you're thinking of and tell you your worst unconfessed sin. Surprise your neighbors, delight your family. This is not Long Island medium stuff, for those who get that reference. I've said it almost every week. I'll say it again. These gifts are at the sovereign discharge of God and God alone. And they will never be used as a party trick to make Jonathan look good, but always to give Jesus the glory, always to build his church. Now, I sound like a broken record, but can you see how this gift needs to be exercised with great humility, great wisdom, with grace and maturity? Even a true word of knowledge that is applied unwisely can do a lot of harm. It's never about humiliating or shaming. It may be humbling, but it's a word that should always be helping. And in other words, you may be very aware that you have this gift, but you may not be free to use it in every situation. Again, this is information that you would have no direct access to were it not for God giving it to you. I mentioned Pastor John Thompson at Sanctus Church in Toronto as someone whose writing on spiritual gifts has really been instructive for me. He had this profound experience discovering this gift in his own life. He was a speaker for a conference in Niagara Falls for about 1,400 youth. And the organizers and the volunteers did something that is, I think, is fairly common in these types of situations. They got the list of the registrants and went to the hotel room or to the hotel before it started. And the team started to pray for every room and every registrant by name before they even got there. We had a fellow at NAC a while ago who would come early on a Sunday morning and just pray over every seat. It's a powerful, meaningful prayer exercise. Well, various people on this pre-conference prayer team start getting mental images, words, and pictures as they prayed for specific names and specific rooms. Words like self-injury, divorce, addiction, things that were obviously not on the registration form. And it took the prayer team aback, but instead of dismissing it, they recognized that maybe God was up to something here. So they leaned into it, and they started writing down the student's name on a sticky note. And on the back, they wrote down what they believe they heard, and then organized it on a big whiteboard in the prayer room. So during the conference, young people were encouraged to visit this prayer room if they wanted personal prayer. And so they'd come in, and when they shared their name, the prayer team was often shocked to find that their name was already on a sticky note. And they'd retrieve it, and they'd ask the youth, listen, while we were praying for you before this retreat even began, some of us connected this word or image with your name. And I just wanted to see if this makes any sense to you. By the way, what a great, wise way to broach that, right? It doesn't make presumptions. It doesn't assume it's a word from God. It's testing it. Well, as you might expect, one teen after another looked up in shock and said, "How did you know?" What else could they say except, "It's a God thing. Okay, let me pray for you." Sometimes those operating in this gift are shown situational, practical instructions like, go to this place, read this book, call this person. Again, this has to be done in the context of a receptive listener. You'll remember the story of Jesus going back to his hometown and getting all kinds of grief and mockery and offense from the old hometown gang. And that story in Matthew ends by saying, and Jesus did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. His hometown skeptics basically didn't give him permission to receive the healing. And there may be people who don't give you permission either. So let me ask you, have you ever had this sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's prompting, which has allowed for certain thoughts or impressions that seem to come from God, a sort of Holy Spirit knowledge absolutely could not have originated from you? Have you ever shared this impression or word with someone? And it's like a question then becomes settled for them upon hearing it. It helps them make a decision they were facing. You might have the spiritual gift of a word of knowledge. It can come in all sorts of ways. For some people, it feels like a written newspaper headline that they see in their mind's eye. For others, they see an image or a situation. Sometimes they even see the person they are praying for in their setting, getting a glimpse of their memory, their hurt, their sin. And sometimes it might come in the way of even a future promise fulfilled, a confirmation of healing, or even as one friend shared with me, a confirmation that person would not be healed. And what you do with that knowledge obviously requires great wisdom and sensitivity. You gotta know when to hold them and know when to fold them. When do I share this and with who? Was this just a word from me? Ultimately, though, it ought to release the activity of God one way or another. And so I believe actually Josie may have gotten a word of confirmation about Derek and her's future, maybe even before Derek got fully confirmed in that. And my dad operated in this gift during his pastoral ministry because sometimes the word of knowledge was a revelation of a congregant's secret sin. Sometimes it would mean people would keep a wide berth from him. You know, it was like, "You're not gonna read my mind, Pastor Boy." It's funny though, of all the meaningful and profound and counseling type moments, ministry moments that happened with this gifting of his, it's the most trite example that I remember. Years ago, early in his ministry, y'all remember there's a place called Kmart? Yeah, of a certain age, you did remember this. My old man was in there buying a Christmas gift for my grandma on my mother's side who lived in Cambridge, and his orders were to get a mixer. And he picked out the box in the aisle and he walked towards the cashier, and a word came into his mind. There's no power cord in that box. Well, the box is taped shut. There's no sign of it ever being opened. And he's like, "Shut up, dumb brain. I'm in a hurry," right? He gets to the checkout. It's Christmas. People are lining up behind him. The word comes again. There is no power cord in there. That can't be. Now I'm obsessing about this intrusive thought. I probably don't need to tell you how this ends, do I? The box is wrapped. It's opened on Christmas Day. Anyone want to guess what was missing? How did you know? Was that a word of knowledge? Now, a fair question you might ask is, who cares? Why would God even involve himself in such a low-stakes moment? Oh, poor Jonathan's dad. He had to go back to Kmart and return it. I'm not sure I have an answer except to say this, that in that moment, there was a commitment from my dad, something not spoken out loud, but in his heart. Okay, Lord, never again will I ignore your voice. How much better is it to figure that out when the stakes are low than when the stakes are monumental? Life-changing stakes, vocation, children, marriage, finances. Does this sound like you, an experience you've had? Is this resonating with you? I say, get into the game. Lean into it. Trust the voice. In the meantime, as you seek God to discern how you're wired, as you try on different serving roles at NAC to see what might be a good fit, my desire is that you don't strive or worry or try to fast track it. In the waiting, you would be able to say, let go my soul, trust in him. The very one who commands the winds and waves is in control of my life. And through it all, Lord, I'm gonna keep my eyes fixed on you, on King Jesus. You will reveal it to me in time if I keep pursuing you. And we would be able to say with integrity, it is well with my soul. Will you stand with me as we close?